message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we are already feeling your presence amongst us. Lord, we say, continue to move unhindered. Move through the aisles, go seat by seat, row by row. Lord, let nobody leave here unchanged, untouched in the name of Jesus. Lord, cause that your word, cause that your will come to pass in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, for the last couple of weeks/months, we have been talking of just one thing: evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. And today we are going to be looking at something that is still connected to it. Something that is still connected to it. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll do 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore," underline the word go, "and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go," the word go appears again, "and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you." A word that we heard recall in both passages was the word go. To go means to move, to advance, to make one's way, to depart, to take. The thought there is to take action. Take action. To take action. And so, if you have not yet gone on evangelism, after the weeks and the few months that we have been sharing along those lines, for how long will you keep on wishing to go? For how long will you keep on imagining to go? For how long will you keep on planning, considering, continuing to listen and listen and listen and yet do nothing? There was a man in a village somewhere. They were teenagers then. And he had a nickname, Johnny Be Good. Johnny Be Good knew everything. He had encyclopedias in his room. Start talking about rockets, he knew it all. Talk about airplanes, he knew it all. Talk about plants, he knew it all. Very soon, his friends began to take jam and go to university, but Johnny Be Good went nowhere. But he knew everything. He actually knew the universities, knew the vice chancellors, knew the courses, knew the faculties, but Johnny Be Good stayed at home. The years passed, his friends who went to school came back, graduated, they began marrying one after the other. Johnny Be Good knew everything about marriage, knew about relationships, knew what to do. He knew everything, but Johnny Be Good did not marry. And his friends got jobs. Johnny Be Good knew things about leadership, things about setting up meetings and so on, but Johnny Be Good remained in the village. And so years passed. Now an old man, frustrated, angry with himself, his friend came and said, "Johnny Bugood, what happened? You are the most brilliant of all of us. You knew everything. My problem was I did not go. I did not go." That little word kept Johnny Bugood where he was. There's a story, a true story, about a man called William Carey. 200 years ago, he read Matthew 28 that we just read, and something stirred inside of him, and he began to speak to the people around him, the different pastors around him, that the Lord is saying that we need to go to the ends of the earth. And they laughed at him because such things were not common then. But he persisted, he continued, and a few pastors, preachers came together and formed the Baptist Missionary Committee. And this man volunteered to go as one of the first missionaries, took his family, went to India. William Carey translated the Bible into different languages. William Carey set up schools. William Carey had converts. People got born again, and that Baptist committee still exists till today, sending missionaries 200 years after. What was the difference? The word "go." This same passage that we are considering. And so your field might not be global like that of William Carey, but there are places that you visit: the shop, the football field, the office that you go to. That is a field that God has given you. And God has a simple message for you. And he's saying to you, go. He's saying to you, go. The topic for this message is very simple. It's the word "go." And so you might say to yourself, okay, so what if I go in 3 weeks' time? Give me some time to think about it. Give me some little more time. Listen to this. John 4:35, the Passion Translation. "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. Their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a harvest." The word there is now. Now is harvest time. Because their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain. When grain is not harvested when it is supposed to be harvested, it can get spoiled. It gets rotten. It gets wasted and it is gone. Theophilus was in this office with his friend John. Theophilus did not really care about God. All he wanted was advancement. But John was a believer, and John kept saying, "One of these days I am going to talk to Theophilus. One of these days, one of these days." And so days passed, weeks passed, and then Theophilus went for a course, took a bus across the country. A week after, the sad news came. Theophilus was dead, killed in a road accident. And simply because his friend John did not go to him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not go. And so from the weeks that we have been talking about evangelism, maybe someone is wondering, okay, so what exactly do I do? How do I go about it? Where do I start from? So today we are going to give some practical tips on what to do. Because maybe you are genuinely interested. You really want to, but you really don't know how. God is answering your prayer this morning. There are some tips My time is running. Number one, before you go, before you even start going, what is your number one equipment? The most important thing that you must carry. In fact, not a thing, but a person, the Holy Spirit. Your number one equipment, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the power of God on earth. He is the executor of all the plans and purposes of God. He is the one that empowers and emboldens. He carries the power of God with him. He is the one that Jesus, in the book of John, called the Comforter, and some translations, the Helper. The Helper, the one who helps, the one who assists. If there was no need for a helper, God wouldn't have sent him. And so God, knowing ahead of time that we wouldn't be able to make it without help, sent us a helper. But why do we need him exactly? To what end and to what purpose? John 14:16, Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said, it is important that I go so that that helper comes. I ask the question, why do we need the helper? Because the helper gives you divine enablement or ability to witness. That is one of the things, one of the helps that he brings with him. Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples, he said, he warned them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem, wait there until you are endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, we now find out why they had to wait. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. He told them, tarry, don't go, wait, make sure you wait until the power comes. And in Acts 1:8, we begin to see why he told them to wait. Because the power must come for you to be able to witness. The power makes you an effective witness. So it is not enough to just go witness, but to be an effective witness. And so after Acts 1:8, by Acts 2, we begin to see Peter. The same Peter that we had read a few books behind, fumbling, wumbling, confused, not knowing the correct things, quick to give answers. Peter that forsook Jesus very quickly. Peter that forsook the ministry very quickly, went back to fishing. But after the power came in Acts 2, Peter stands up and he begins to speak. He begins to trace the reason why Jesus was sent. He begins to say why he came, why he died, and that he rose and is sitting by the right hand of majesty. And that through him, the Spirit has been shared. Same Peter. What was the difference? The Spirit had come upon him. And as he spoke, the people that listened to him, they were cut to their heart. And they said, what shall we do? On one day, one sitting, 3,000 souls brought to the kingdom. 3,000 souls. Because power from on high had come upon a man. Please do not go without him. If you are born again and filled, he is with you. He is with you. He follows you. Let me tell you the magnitude of this power. John 7:37. Jesus speaking, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Note what happened. If you are thirsty, come, drink. So you come and you drink. All you did was take a sip. But see what it says. Out of your belly shall come rivers. And so you took a drink, but the Spirit flows from you rivers, torrents, rivers of rushing water. That is the power that flows through you. That is the power that flows through you. Just a sip, and yet, what a manifestation. Do not go without acknowledging, without being conscious that there is a, that, without being conscious that the Spirit of God dwells in you and goes with you. Praise the Lord. Next thing, before you go, pray. You pray because you are affirming your trust in the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord of the, He is the Lord of the harvest. He knows the different situations. He knows the people that you, He knows the people that you are even going to meet. He knows the harassed market woman that is going to look and complain to you. He knows the man in the queue that is going to be standing beside you. He knows all that, and he can prepare their hearts ahead for you. So you pray that you will recognize opportunity when it presents itself, and that you will take advantage of that opportunity. He knows there are different needs. He knows the ones that have disappointment and letdowns. He knows the ones that are fearful. He knows the ones that are sick. He knows. A time was when I went to have my teeth checked, and this young lady, you know, begins to get ready. And so she looks at the file and says, "Pastor." And for whatever reason, she begins to get unhappy with me. All these things about God, when science can do everything. What is the need for God? You know, talk. So I was wondering, what is my own? So I, it was like, all right, what church do you attend? Well, I don't really go. I go whenever I feel like. And, you know, she just went on and on about how science can answer the questions while I was trying to tell her, oh, but then God can do. And she asked me a very simple question. If God can do everything, so why did you come to have your teeth scaled? By this time, I was getting heated up. And I don't know where it came from inside of me. I said that medicine can do many things, but medicine cannot heal a broken heart. I noticed that she went quiet and did her work quietly. And when I finished, she would look at me, but I went home. Some days after, Auntie Reggie went to the same clinic and met the same lady. She saw Family Worship Center and a conversation began. What we found out was that this lady had lost her sister. Her sister had died, and she held and blamed God for it. She held and blamed God and held some of her relatives who didn't give proper care. So she was angry and hurt inside of her. How was I to know that a word that I would speak was the exact diagnosis of the problem? That it hit her in the heart and she went quiet. And that God prepared it, that Auntie Reggie came and continued the process. Who knows those things but the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God. And so prayer prepares the ground ahead of you. The next thing you need to do before you go is plan. Plan. You need to plan. Now, evangelism should be a lifestyle. In other words, it should be something that happens unplanned. In other words, happens during the course of your day. There is someone that you met and you see an opportunity and you start talking. But then there is the other one that is planned because you have put it that on Saturday mornings when I go out jogging, I'll go under the tree where those boys sit and I will speak to them. So there is the unplanned, so to say, and there is the planned, the one that you deliberately go. And so those two makes it the lifestyle. So plan for it, allocate the time for it. Plan to carry cards with you. Church cards, church cards with you. Make sure that you dress responsibly and decently. You represent Jesus Christ, and so be clean, decent. Dress like how you would want the people that you are talking to want to associate with you. But let your dress fit the occasion. Don't say that you want to preach to teenagers who are in a park somewhere and you're wearing a suit. That is likely to just turn them off. Dress like them and then just go, approach them. And so there you are, you plan to talk to bankers and you're wearing torn jeans. That is not appropriate. They are not going to accept whatever you are going to speak to them. If you are going to the hospital because you want to minister to people, dress nice, dress decently, because nurses will give you more attention when you are dressed decently. So dress nice. Don't let your shabby, dirty, smelly clothes be what will turn people away from Christ. Personal grooming, brush your teeth, comb your hair. Just look nice. Ladies, be decent. Dress decently so that the people that you are communicating to do not get distracted. Do not get distracted. Praise the Lord. The next thing is when you now speak to them, what do you say? What exactly do you say? Now, what you say is actually going to depend on how that particular situation presents itself to you. What you say will depend on how that particular situation presents itself to you. And so you can create that situation by yourself. For example, you are in a queue paying, paying for things, and the person in front of you, you notice that he is a copper. He has counted the money again and again. He's checking, and you offer to pay. And, oh, sir, thank you so much. And then when you both go out, a conversation can begin because you have initiated a certain situation. And you can take the fact that Jesus paid it all as a line to actually continue with that conversation. You also can meet people that are in a specific situation. They are worried, they are sick, bereaved, joyful, or they have had car trouble. So a situation can present itself to you. Take advantage of it. So create a bridge of discussion. Create a bridge of discussion. Introduce yourself. And if it is where you are living, tell them that you are living around there. That makes them a little more comfortable. This is someone who lives around where I also live. And you might tell them the job that you do. I am a hairdresser. I am a lawyer. And you strike a conversation. You can talk about anything, the country, fashion, politics, whichever way it goes. But as it goes, you are directing it towards a certain direction. You are actually directing it. You are trying to find out what are the needs, the issues around this person. Or you are just taking the context of Nigeria or whatever the situation. You are talking football. Chelsea just won. And everybody is happy. The man is excited, telling you how they won, who scored the goals. And you can take that conversation to winning in life. Winning in life. and beginning to talk and then sharing your own story. Your own story of how God has helped you win in life. So that whole conversation began with football, began with a win, now transited to winning in life, transited to your own life story. He begins to see that he hasn't really won in life. And then you now begin to move him gently to the fact that, what do you want to win in life? I can actually show you, I can introduce you to someone that will make you win in life. Steer the conversation to where you want it to go. As you are talking with these people, you just may want to show the limits and helplessness of man. That man can do so much, but man is limited. And you can begin to show that God is without limits. There is nothing that God cannot do. Have a personal story that you can share that helps to illustrate what you are actually talking about. And then lead the person to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So there are no hard and fast rules. You just follow the conversation, the way the conversation plays itself. At times, it just may not go that way. At times, all you just may be able to do is to just give the person the church invite card. The church invite card, and just ask them, please, can you come on, Sunday? There is a wonderful service. You are going to have a life-transforming service. Maybe because the person is too busy, the person just doesn't care. So what do you do when the person is hostile? What do you do when the person is hostile? Don't get involved in arguments. If they are aggressive, still be nice and polite, but back off. Back off. It would be good if it is possible, drop the church invite card, if that is still possible. What if the person has questions? Try and answer the questions as much as you can. Be honest. If there are questions that you cannot answer, say it. And then bring somebody later who can actually help you answer those questions. But if those questions are to catch you, you know that they are planned to just make you trip, make you fall, make you look foolish. Be wise, back off, and just let the person go. If arguments begin, as much as possible, do not argue. And if the person belongs to another church, please do not bring them to Family Worship Center. They are already planted where they are. Please leave them alone. We also advise that sisters talk to sisters. Sisters speak with sisters. Because when sisters speak with brothers, things may happen that is not planned for. If there are any suggestive, seductive things, flee for your life. Run very, very fast. We also advise that you can go alone. You can go alone if you want to. Because Jesus showed us the example that he went by himself. He arrested Peter by himself. He talked to those first disciples by himself. But you can go in twos. Jesus sent them out in twos. When they go out in twos, it just helps you. You actually help each other. You have to help each other. Also, if you are not very confident, you can learn from your partner. You can watch how your partner does it, how he answers questions, how he prays for that person. You can go as a group, your care group, your district, your unit. You can go as a group. But when you go as a group, pray before you break up. Break up into smaller groups. Make sure that you pray. Break up into smaller groups of twos and threes. And then when you are done, please gather yourselves. Don't lose people in the field. gather yourselves, tally, and you know, find out how many people got born again. Make sure that you have their names written down. You also have their phone numbers, because you have to follow them up. Because you have to follow them up. That is very, very important. And then where you have to lead them in a prayer to actually receive Jesus, there is a very simple prayer that you can just look at. Maybe you are not sure what to do. Please put it up, the prayer. There is a very simple prayer that you can just look up right now. Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. From today, Satan ceases to have rule over my life. Thank you for accepting me in Jesus' name. So that's a very simple prayer which you can write down and which you can lead people to Christ easily. Nothing complex and nothing complicated. Nothing complex and nothing complicated. So those are some of the things that you have to look out for as you go out to evangelize. Now, not every act of going out is actually about talking. Some is about kindness, about helping. This is a true story. A few years ago, a man in the park, he had been praying, and he said, "Lord, I really want to minister to someone." And he saw two girls on a swing. And so he goes and he begins to talk to them, and they say, "Me no speak English." So he looks around and he sees their parents. And so he goes to them and says, "I want to help you." They say, "Why do you want to help us? We really don't know you." They were actually foreigners. And he says, "Because God has a divine appointment with you." And he had some money on him. He gave it to them. He had some extra food. He handed it to them. And they were surprised. "Why are you doing this?" He again said, "Because God has a divine appointment with you. And I am going to meet you again." And so he goes home, tells his wife. So by the next day, he cooks them a big meal. He goes to buy dishes. Goes to the same park, sees them, and tells them, "Look, I have food for you and dishes, but it is too heavy for me to carry. Can you show me where your house is so that I can take it there with you?" So he goes, and as he brings out the food, brings out the dishes, these are poor foreigners, the woman begins to cry. "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to us?" And he says, "Because God has an appointment with you." And he now tells them, "Well, I have a little Bible class in my house that holds every Monday. Would you want to come?" They said, "Yes, yes, yes." And he just tells them, "Don't come because of the gift." They said, "No, we want to be friends with you." And so from that one foreign family invites other foreign families. He begins to show love to them, helps them with a little money, buys a coat for that one. And soon he has a thriving fellowship of foreigners right in his house because of one act that started as kindness. He did not preach to them. He began by showing kindness to them. And the man said that he began to understand what love is. That when he was given those things, he had no feelings of affection for them. But as those people responded to him, the feeling of affection began to come. So agape does not go with affection. It is just a decision to love. But later on, the feelings, the philia, catches up with you. And the man has continued ever since, helping people, meeting their needs. That is a form of evangelism, going out to meet the needs of people. Someone has just moved in next door. Go knock. Get to know who they are. Tell them about care group. Invite them to church. Take a drink. Take something. Talk to their children. It is a form of evangelism. Don't just hide there inside your house all by yourself. Let your eyes be opened to see opportunities around you, and people will start following the gospel of Jesus Christ. Finally, let me share another story. Many years ago, when I was a young doctor, there was a tanker explosion. There was a tanker explosion. I had not really seen burns before, but I saw people being rushed in, burned from head to toe. And they were talking, I need water, I have pain, give me this. And so we would set up a drip, do everything. And then a senior doctor came, looked, and shook his head. I did not understand what that meant. Because as we took them into the ward, I mean, I was happy. This was a good day. We had helped them. By the next day, they began to die one after the other. I had not seen anything like this. Young people, they were talking just yesterday. One after the other, dying one by one. It hit me so hard in my heart because I said, there they were talking. And that doctor knew that they wouldn't make it. That was why that doctor shook his head. He knew. I didn't know. It hurt me so much. The next time there was an explosion and the people were rushed in, they were speaking Yoruba and I couldn't speak. I grabbed the nurses. Please minister to them. Quick, minister to them. Talk to them. Talk to them as much as you can. Lead them to Christ because there is no time. There is no time. And that's the truth. For every one of us, there's no time. There's no time. Because you don't know when it will happen. You don't know whether it will be a gas explosion, whether it will be an accident. We do not know because we do not control time. We do not control time. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. You may have come this morning full of life, but you don't have time. You don't have time. You have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You don't have time. There are two places, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. If you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then it will be hell. But it is easy to find your way to heaven. Very, very easy. It's just to accept him. Just to accept him. Let him become your Lord. And you become his child. Your life is secure here on earth and secure thereafter. I don't know who I am speaking to. I don't know who I am talking to. There have been thoughts of death hovering around you. Fear of death. You are the one. You are the one. And there are several of you like that. There are several of you like that. I also don't know who I am speaking to that you have gone through failure. Things keep on going wrong in your life. You try so hard, but it just doesn't work. It looks like the people around you, things are working, but for you, it is not. I can introduce you to somebody that can help you. Someone that can change things around for you. There's something that you have desired in life, but in your family, it looks like nobody gets to get that thing. It could be marriage, your sisters, unmarried, a trend. It could be that people die at a certain age. You see, there are things that Jesus was sent to deal with. He came that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance. If you are the person that I am talking about, just lift your hand where you are. because something is going to happen concerning your life. I used to have a problem with failure back in school, and I couldn't understand it. I read all the books, taught my friends, but when the exam came, I would fail. It was then that I realized that there was something after my life. Do you want to shift from where you are? Are you tired of living from hand to mouth? Poor. Things are difficult. Things are tough. Just lift your hand right where you are. I am going to introduce you to someone that will change your life. Take a bold step. Stand where you are. Stand where you are. Stand right where you are. Let God change the trajectory of your life. Let God do something about your life. Do not leave this place without meeting with Him. Do not leave this place without meeting with Him. Because there might be no time.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.